I suppose last week the data out of the US is really quite interesting. There wasn't a huge surprise there on the inflation rate, but it's just how gobsmackingly high it's become. So we had the December CPI came out and also December producer prices. December CPI did more or less what the market expected. You know, the market was looking for 0.4% increase month on month. It's actually a bit above that, 0.5. That took the annual rate of change to 7% from 6.8%. And the core CPI lifted quite a bit. It was at 4.9% annual rate. That lifted more than expected to 5.5%. So yeah, we got a lot of inflation in the system right at the end of 2021 there. And the producer price index, which came out the day afterwards, shows that we still got an awful lot in the pipeline too. So the annual rate of inflation there, it edged back a touch, but to 9.7% year on year from 9.8%. The core rate went the other way, and core PPI went up to 8.3% from 7.9%. So this became the focus for a lot of comments from the Federal Reserve, various governors, and also a bit of a statement too from the chairman of the Federal Reserve. And it's along the lines of, yeah, this is in the system now, it's high, we have to start to do something about it. And depending on who you listen to, you know, they're going to do three or they're going to do four interest rate hikes through the course of the year. It's still just a little bit puzzling that, you know, we've now got clear evidence that inflation's in the system. It's got a lot of momentum behind it. It's not going to go away anytime fast. It's running nearly three times the Fed's target. And you know, the market still thinks the first rate hike won't be till March. We do have a Fed meeting coming up at the end of this month, and I would have thought that, you know, given the way in which you've had all this talk from the Fed about the problems that's starting to occur on the inflation front, that, you know, they'd make a start on this at the January meeting. January meeting's in a couple of weeks' time, and it wouldn't surprise me if we don't get a rate hike starting then. And yeah, I'll have to guide it pretty hard because, you know, you're starting from such a low base on the cash rate. I suspect they're still going to do quarters. I don't think they'll start with the 50 basis points. More meetings than not, they're going to be raising rates. And so this is the type of environment that we're starting to work our way towards and people are starting to expect. You do get some setbacks to that view with the data from time to time. Last week, Omicron, it's a weird thing, Omicron. It's sort of, it's adds to inflation at the same time as in the very near term, it crimps growth. But as soon as we start to live with Omicron and get used to it, then the spending starts to come back again and you start to stretch all those supply chain problems you've got. And of course, Omicron makes the supply chain problems elongate and worse, particularly when it comes to labour supply, because you end up with a reasonable proportion of your workforce which is out for various times, either isolating or is sick with the virus. And so, you know, that adds to all those issues you've got running through the supply chain problems. So it's a weird thing, Omicron. You know, it will hit one or two of the indicators. We saw it with December retail sales in the US. They were down more than expected, down by 1.9%. That was after a 0.2% increase. You know, the market was looking for only a 0.1% decline. And we may get another very weak one for January. But you know, once the US gets into the groove of accepting that most people have had this thing, built up immunity either because they've recently had it or have been vaccinated, things start to bounce again. And you know, that's then it starts to add to those issues. So Omicron and its effects really don't sort of take away from what central banks may have to do through the course of this year. In the case of the US this week, it'll be quiet to start with. We've got Martin Luther King Day holiday for Monday. And then we get really very little data this week. We get a couple of the regional manufacturing surveys from New York State and also the Philadelphia Fed survey. they were reasonably okay. Interesting to see what they do for January. The market thinks that the Empire State Survey, which was at 31.9, very strong going back to December, will come back to 25, and that the Philadelphia Fed Survey out on Thursday night, that was 15.4. That might even go the other way and just lift a little bit, because it had quite a dip going back to December and may just lift a little bit. We get a fair bit of housing data through the course of this week too. We get things like on Wednesday night, housing permits, housing starts. Back in November, they were really strong, up 3.9%, 11.8% respectively. Market thinks they'll dip a little bit through the course of this week. Then we get existing home sales coming out right at the end of the week, which again was up 1.9% going back to November. Market thinks there'll be a bit of a dip on that. But this week probably won't be so much of a focus for the data. What will be in focus are quarterly earnings reports. And whilst there's a little bit of doubt surrounding the banks in the US, and it got off to a fairly shaky start for the most part, this should be another very strong earnings reporting season. And so that'll be another feature which will come through. But remembering that the week after this, we get to a Fed meeting. And obviously we're going to get a bit of volatility running into the Fed meeting the week after. As far as China's concerned, we had some inflation data and also some trade data out of China last week. The inflation data, because China's been slowing most of the way through the course of this year, we're just getting a little bit of toing and froing running through the inflation data, pulling back a bit, still pretty elevated in parts. So the CPI is quite low inside China relative to the rest of the world. It came down to 1.5% year-on-year in December, the CPI from 2.3%, but largely because of the weakness running through domestic activity in China, much of that related around property. Producer prices, though, although they came back, they're still pretty elevated. So the month before, they were at 12.9% year-on-year. They came back to 10.3% year-on-year, so still pretty hefty, but no longer accelerating up through the teens. We also had export and import data. This is going okay for China. So even though they've got a lot of problems on domestic demand, largely related around property now, the international sector is still working its way higher for China. And we saw it with exports. They were running up 22% year-on-year. They thought that come back to perhaps 20. It was still closer to 21. It's up 20.9% year-on-year. So this is still very, very big support as far as the Chinese economy is concerned. And on the import side, because domestic demand is fading somewhat, and because they're putting restrictions on certain things too, we're starting to see the annual growth in imports coming back quite a bit. So imports in November were running at 31.7%. They came back to 19.5%, so quite a deal of deceleration there. And something that's a bit worrying for us is that most of the biggest items which are decelerating in China are the big bulk items that relate to us. With the construction sector now sort of looking pretty soft in China, much of that huge demand there for bulk commodities is really starting to fade away, and China is making sure that the Australian part of that comes off quicker than most. Just watching that sort of development over time. This week, today, at around lunchtime, we'll get all the big China releases, including Q4 GDP. Q4 GDP will be a strange one. You'll see quite a deceleration in the annual growth rate. It'll come back, we think, from 4.9% year-on-year, going back to the third quarter, down to 3.6%. You have to go back over 30 years to find anything weaker than that in China. This is significant deceleration in the annual growth rate. Having said that, the quarter-on-quarter will probably be up about 1.2%. But even if you annualise the quarter-on-quarter, you'd still only be at 4.8%. And remembering that China thinks are in trouble anytime they're running the economy below about 6%. So, you know, it's still pretty much on the soft side. And you can see that softness running through the various December indicators. We have fixed asset investment spending. Your property sector is a large part of that. That'll be coming down again to 4.8% year-on-year, we think, in December from 5.2% in November. Industrial production, again, you know, that's coming back, largely under government dictate, and that'll be back, we think, to 3.6% from 3.8%. And retail sales, not much joy there for the household sector, so that coming back to 3.7% from 3.9%. So, you know, this softness which is running through Chinese growth, whilst it may, you know, be past its worst, it's not going to get too strong, it's still going to be soft running into the first part of this year. Australia last week, we had a number of economic indicators came out. Now, they're all related to November, and of course, November was before, this is where the household sector was thinking, gee, last we're out of lockdowns in New South Wales and Victoria, let's spend like there's no tomorrow, and in the process, we'll go and catch the virus. So this is the time when everybody was out at Christmas parties like there's no tomorrow, getting too close to each other, singing and dancing on tables, and genuinely getting themselves infected. Then we get to December, when they get infected, big time, running into January, and we get some pullback running through that demand. But these are November numbers that were coming out last week, and they were all on the strong side of expectations. So we had November home building approvals. The market thought these would be down again, probably by about 0.5%. They were. They rose strongly by 3.6%, so quite a lift. November retail trade was truly ballistic. We already had a very strong reading for October, where we had a lift of 4.9% in that first period where people were starting to come out of lockdown. In November, the market thought we would get a rise of about 4%. We got a rise of 7.3% month on month. Now, we'll undoubtedly get some pullback running through December, but overall, Q4 is very, very strong on the retail trade front. It would be a different story for Q1, where we'll have a very soft start to Q1. But the November data out last week was exceptionally strong. We had November international trade data, and we got a pullback in the size of the trade surplus. Still hefty, you know, still up over $9 billion, $9.4 billion from $10.7 billion the month before. Exports actually rose by 2%, but imports lifted very strongly by 6%. This is responding to that, you know, big demand shift that was occurring just before Christmas. And we also had November housing finance, and this one was a genuine surprise, I think, for many people, because we had the beginnings of declines running through new housing finance commitments. This was under pressure from the APRA changes in terms of the buffer that the banks had to build in terms of serviceability of loans, and on top of the beginnings of fixed rate home loans starting to show some signs of increase. Back in October, we had a 4.1% decline running through new housing finance commitments. We were expecting to decline again, but in November we had a huge lift, 7.6%, and it was pretty much spread between owner-occupiers and investors. So, you know, the housing boom, whilst the signs that it's starting to go over the top, there's also some signs that it's going to be slow to go through the top, this still reflects that. This week in Australia, we get Westpac consumer sentiment, month of January. This one will look pretty bad. It was down 1% going back to December. In January, this is where people decided, well, we may not be in lockdown, but we're going to act as if we're in lockdown. We no longer trust the government to keep us healthy. We'll do our own thing, and basically we won't be going out and partying like we did back in November, and starting to pull back on all those sorts of things. But then we'll follow on Thursday with the latest labour force report. And you know, December, we were still getting this huge demand for labour running through. Now, going back to November, we had an outsized increase, you know, the biggest in Australian history, where employment rose by 366,100. If you put that into the context of US non-farm payrolls, now remembering that you know, US non-farm payrolls recently have been rising between about 300,000 and 600,000 a month, that figure in a new in population adjusted for the difference between us, you'd be looking at a 4 million lift in non-farm payrolls. Now imagine if you got that as a new as a number in the US. You know, that's what we got in Australia for November. It was just monster. Now it still looks as if it's going to rise again on top of that. And the market consensus is all over the place. The average is 30,000, but it's anything between down slightly to up a couple of 100,000. So this number looks as if it will probably fly again. And the participation rate had already recovered most of its losses. It was up to 66.1% in November. It can't go much more. So you know, we think maybe it goes up to 66.2. But depending on how strong that employment number is, we'll see the unemployment rate probably come down. The market thinks only to 4.5% from 4.6, but it could go a lot lower than that. So again, one of those pressure point numbers as far as the Reserve Bank is concerned in terms of you know, the pressure that may be building in the Australian economy. They've got a lot to deal with because you know, they've got to allow for Omicron as well and just that temporary pullback in demand. But one thing that's probably very, very likely is that you know, once we get a bit further down the track, once people get used to Omicron, you get a huge surge in demand again, and we'll be very constrained on supply. So Omicron, when you put it in relative terms, more of a risk to higher inflation than it is to a risk of lower growth. And so you know, that's what's increasingly going to be coming through as far as the Reserve Bank's concerned as we go ahead. Now, out of Europe, we had the Centix Investor Confidence Survey. Still rising in Europe. Europe's still doing okay-ish. So in January, that lifted to 14.9 from 13.5. It was expected to be 12, so it's actually quite a big upside surprise. The November unemployment rate still creeping down to 7.2 from 7.3, and labour shortages in some economies, such as Germany, becoming quite acute. November industrial production, way stronger than expected, up 2.3% after falling the month before. But the market only expects a 0.5% rise, so you know, European factories are literally going flat out. Now, in the trade balance, again, a rarity. They actually ran a trade deficit in the month of November, and it was because they had the most massive surge in imports. So basically, you know, demand in Europe is very, very strong, internal demand, really driving import demand. They're still getting good exports, but imports way exceeding it. So a very rare trade deficit for Europe in the most recent month. This week in Europe, interesting one, because we haven't got much in the way of data. In fact, we've really only got the ZEW Economic Sentiment Survey. This is month of January. It was at 26.8. Probably a similar reading for the most current month. But on Thursday, we've got the ECB meeting, and inflation is just so far above where the ECB expects. There has to be an issue that at some point we get a surprise from the ECB. Now, I don't know whether it's actually going to be this particular meeting or one after it, but currently, of course, you know, they've got a their deposit rate's minus 0.4%. But inflation is running up through 5% in Europe. It's just light years above their 2% inflation target. It has no hope, even on base effect dips later in the year, of getting down anywhere near the 2%. And you've got plenty of momentum, as there is in most other economies, building towards higher inflation over time. So, you know, this is going to be the story going ahead. It's the crumbling of the central banks. When do they capitulate? What causes them to capitulate? I'll be watching even the RBA here, but more not from the data next week, but the data that comes the week after. The week after, we get our CPI. Now that will be interesting. If we get an upside surprise on that one again, remembering the big upside surprise, we've got an underlying inflation going back to Q3. That puts a lot of pressure back to the Reserve Bank. So it's these pressure points towards higher interest rates, I think, which are going to be quite a focus over the course of the next few weeks.